the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 55. Come, guilty souls, and flee away to Christ and heal your wounds. This is the welcome gospel day wherein free grace abounds. Hymn 55.
Be pleased to help me. I'd like us to read together from Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2 and chapter 3. Ephesians, chapter 2 and chapter 3. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature as the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember, that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision, in the flesh made by hands. that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also were builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am the least than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the and powers and heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purposes which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to his word. May we help to continue in prayer. Most kind and ever merciful Lord God, our Father which is in heaven, we do thank thee for this another opportunity and privilege to gather in thy house this evening. We do thank thee, Lord, that we have that desire and that concern to come and meet amongst thy people and to read and to hear thy word. We do thank thee, Lord, that thou hast not left us to our own devices, else we would not be here. We do thank thee that thou hast drawn us in from the things of this world for a small time. And we do pray, Lord, that thou come and meet with us if it could please thee. We do pray, Lord, that thou remove all those thoughts that have occupied us during this past day. We do ask, Lord, that thou clear our minds if it could please thee, and that we might come and worship thee aright, and if it is thy will. We do thank thee, Lord, for thy mercies to us, that thou hast not dealt with us as we deserve, and in thy wrath thou hast remembered mercy. We acknowledge that we are not the people that we ought to be, and we are those sinners full of sin and iniquity, and we come confessing our besetting sins and our uncleanness. We do ask, Lord, that thou pour out thy mercy upon us this night, as we come to thee in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We do thank thee, Lord, that it is him as seen instead of us, when we approach unto thee. We do ask, Lord, that as we have come from those many scenes of our life this day, we do pray, Lord, that as we have mixed with the world for some time, we do ask, Lord, that thou come and draw very close to us this night. We do pray that thy Holy Spirit might descend upon us, that we might have a word in season for the good of our never dying souls, if it could please thee, that we might go from this place rejoicing. We ask that thou send down a piece of manna from heaven, that we might take it home with us, if it could please thee. We do pray, Lord, that for all that have come, we ask that they might have them hearts prepared to receive thy word. They might have been praying their way here, that they might have that good ground to plant the seed within their hearts, that they might bring forth that fruit to the honour and glory of thyself, if it could please thee. We would remember any that have come in out of mere tradition. We would ask, Lord, that thou would open their eyes and unstop their ears if it could please thee. We do pray, Lord, that the scales might drop from their eyes and they might realise their need of a precious Saviour. We do ask, Lord, that they might understand what it is to have that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do ask that they might lay aside their traditions of men and come to know thee as their only righteousness, if it could please thee. Thou knowest, Lord, all about each one. Thou knowest that our hearts stand open before thee. Thou knowest, Lord, our inward desires and our real concerns. And we do pray, Lord, that thou give us that hunger and that thirsting after righteousness. And we do pray, Lord, that we might be able to seek first the kingdom of God and thy righteousness, and all these other things might be added unto us. And we do pray, Lord, that thou help us to rightly order our lives. We might put first things first and a second thing second. And we do pray, Lord, that thou continue to bless us if it could please thee. We ask that thou continue to guide us in our lives and make that way plain for us, that we might know the way to go. And we do ask, Lord, that as we follow after thee, as we go through those trials and those difficulties, they will strengthen us and help us. And we do ask, Lord, that we might see thy hand moving in all that we do. We would remember the young people and those who attend school at this time. We do pray for them. We ask, Lord, that thou bless them in their lives, and we understand that there are many things taught contrary to thy word in the schools, and we would pray, Lord, that thou help the children to discern good from evil. We ask, Lord, as we as parents seek to raise them in thy fear, that thou help us to teach them at home also. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt instill in them thy fear young in their lives, if it could please thee. that they might grow up to be those pillars in the house of God, the next generation raised up for thy honour and thy glory. We bid pray, Lord, thou call them by thy grace. Do plant her word in their hearts, young in their lives, if it could please thee, that they might be kept from the love of sinning, that the draw and the temptation of the things of this world might not allure them aside, if it could please thee, but thou keep them as the apple of thine eye. We remember those at college, at university. We do ask the same again of them, that they might not be left to commit the vile sins that go on throughout this world. But we do pray, Lord, thou keep them and give them that ability to say no and to come out from the crowd and be separate. And we would ask, Lord, that thou make them submissive to thy will. We would pray that thou provide for them those God-given husbands and wives, that they might raise children for the honour and glory of thyself. We ask, Lord, that thou go before them in their decisions and their pathways in life. May we each be made as submissive to thy will, knowing that thy way is best for us. And we do pray, Lord, for that grace to walk in that pathway which thou dost lead us. We would ask, Lord, that thou be with those unable to be here this night, those looking after children and those maybe too sick to attend. We do pray, Lord, that thou go to them where they are and make up where they are so need, if it could please thee. We ask, Lord, that thou send down a blessing to them where they are. But we would also remember those who have no desire to come, those, Lord, who have been drawn aside by the things of this world. And we do pray, Lord, that thou open their eyes, they might realise their need of a Saviour. Draw them by the power of thy Holy Spirit to come in even this night and to hear a word in season for the good of their souls, if it could please thee. We would remember those who live round about this place. No doubt they see thy people come in week by week. We do pray, Lord, that thou remember them, if it could please thee. For in the days gone by thou did look upon the multitude with compassion. And we do pray, Lord, that thou look upon this village in compassion also. Do pray, Lord, that thou revive them. May there be that moving of thy Holy Spirit, if it could please thee, that all might be done for thy honour and thy glory, that this big place might again shine as a light in this dark place, that we might know that thou art God. We'd remember our country at large and those that have rule over us, how they seek to lead us further and further away from thy word. We do pray, Lord, that thou pour out thy mercy upon them, if it could please thee. Turn them again to thy word, if it could please thee, that we might once more be known as the land of the Bible. We do pray, Lord, that if it is thy will, if it is not thy will, that thou wilt remember those of us who do sigh and cry for the abominations that are done in our land. We do pray, Lord, that thou continue to watch over and protect us. Give us that concern for the souls of others. And we do pray, Lord, that thou continue to bless us as we meet in thy house. Continue to bless us as we read thy word and meditate upon it. And help us as we may be constantly in prayer, if it could please thee. We ask, Lord, that thou keep us from those besetting sins that so easily come into our lives. We do pray, Lord, that thou keep us as the apple of thine eye. We ask that thou give us that real repentance to enable us to turn away from our sin. And we would ask, Lord, that thou never let us bring a reproach upon thy name. We might always live as a light shining in this dark world, living, Lord, to a people given for good works. And we do pray, Lord, thou help us. Help us as we seek to live a life honour and glorifying unto thee. We do pray, Lord, thou help us in all that we do. We remember the older generation. Also, we would ask, Lord, that thou be with them. Maybe they have come in this night with fears and anxieties about the coming week, about the remaining days of their life. And we would pray, Lord, that thou be with them. We ask that thou give them that reassurance, that good hope that they are amongst thy people, that they might be able to face death without its sting. Thou wilt know that thou art with them and are walking through that pathway with them. We would remember our persecuted brethren around this world. We would ask, Lord, that thou go to them where they are and do comfort them. Remember those who have suffered the loss of all things for thy name's sake. We would pray, Lord, that thou make up, if it could please thee, make up in their soul for the good of their souls. And we do pray, Lord, for those who seek to minister unto them. We ask that they might be strengthened and helped, provided with every financial need that they need. And we do pray, Lord, that they might see that fruit for the honour and glory of thyself as springing up, if it could please thee. And we ask that thy protective hand might rest upon them. We would remember those who take part in the Sunday schools also. We do ask, Lord, that thou pray, be with them, do strengthen them and help them. May they be enabled to break thy word down small for the children. And we ask that thou lodge that seed within their hearts. We ask, Lord, that thou help us to read thy word and to meditate on it. For it seems to be the hardest book to open, but we would pray that thou give us that desire to read it. We do ask, Lord, that thou give us that understanding of it also. And we do pray that thou speak to our souls through it, if it could please thee. May it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, if it could please thee. We would remember this people here. We do thank thee, Lord, that thou hast been with them and continued to bless them. We would remember thee, of thy servants who come week by week to minister to them. We would remember those who have even come this week. We would ask, Lord, thou bless the word through them, if it can please thee. And we would pray, Lord, that there might be those more divine appointments for these people here. May they see thy hand going before them in all that they do. May they see those tokens for their good, if it could please thee. We do ask, Lord, that thou continue to build them up. Thou knowest all about them, thou knowest them that run this place. We'd ask, Lord, that thou continue to strengthen them and help them. May they be, when they are down, enabled to look unto thee. And we would pray, Lord, that thou continue to bless them exceedingly. We do thank thee that so many have been able to come out on a weekday evening. And we do pray, Lord, that there might be that a word in season for their souls. May it not be a disappointing evening for them, if it could please thee. I would pray, Lord, that thy Holy Spirit might descend upon us. For without thee we can do nothing. We would acknowledge our weakness and our complete inability to speak a word in season to anyone. But we come in complete dependence upon thee, knowing that thy strength is made perfect in weakness. O Lord, we come completely weak, completely unable in our natural man to speak a word in season. But we would pray. We would come, Lord, like the disciples, ignorant and unlearned men. But we do pray, Lord, that we might go from this place, knowing that we have been with Jesus. We do ask, Lord, that if it is thy will, thou art help me, as thou didst promise to do, to open my mouth wide, and thou wilt fill it. Do fill it, Lord, with the words that thou have me to speak. Do pour in, that I might be able to pour out. For thou knowest, Lord, what we need for our souls. Thou knowest, Lord, if we need some encouragement, some rebuke. But we ask, Lord, that thou speak it to us this night, that we might go on our way rejoicing in what thou hast done. We do pray then, Lord, thou come if it could please thee. That this meeting might, that we might not meet in vain this night. But we do pray, Lord, that even one word might be spoken in some poor sinner's heart this night, that they might know that they are amongst thy children, that their sins, which are so many, are washed away and cast behind thy back and remembered no more. And we do pray, Lord, that we might come to that realization that we are thy son and thy daughter. We ask then thou keep us from the love of sinning. We do pray, Lord, that thou wash us and we shall be whiter than snow. We come in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 11. Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song, the joy of my heart and the boast of my tongue. Thy free grace alone, from the first to the last, has won my affections and bound my soul fast. Hymn 11.
Thank you.
come into you in complete dependence upon the Lord for help and to give me every word to speak to you this evening. I'd like to draw your attention to Ephesians chapter 3 and the text you'll find in verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we even ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Well, the words that really came to me were just these. Above all that we even ask, that we ask or think. We underestimate the power of God. We underestimate the power of prayer and the privilege in which it gives us to enable us to access a storehouse that is so vast, it is hard beyond imagination. It enables us to communicate with the God of heaven that created the world in 6 days. As he spoke it into being. But first of all, I wanted to speak to you regarding the chapters that we read. You see, the Apostle Paul wrote to these Ephesians. He wrote to the church, but he addresses them as believers, those that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, those that were dead and been quickened by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you had he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He's speaking to those that believe, those that have been quickened by the power of the Holy Spirit, those that have access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. But first of all, they had to be quickened. They were dead in trespasses and sins. And there are no doubt there are some here that are still walking on the broad way which leads to destruction. You are still in your trespasses and in sins. You haven't come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. And you are on that broad road which leads to destruction. Your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we offend God. We're an abomination to him out of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do not have access to God because we do not believe. We do not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save us. Or willing. So I want to prove to you this night that although you might feel yourself to be the worst sinner upon earth, that Jesus Christ and his blood is able and exceedingly abundantly able to forgive. When Jesus Christ was on the cross at Calvary, it was exceedingly, abundantly, full of grace. You see, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever. The Apostle Paul, we would say, was a great sinner, a vile man, persecuting the Christians, consenting to stoning Stephen. And yet God in his mercy drew near to him on the road to Damascus. He was on his way to persecute the church, to take captive Christians, the Gentiles, us. But God in his mercy stopped him. His abundance of grace stopped him. made him aware that what he was doing was wrong. Called him by grace, we might say. Now, if the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ is able to wash away his sin, his murder, his hatred towards God's people, how much more is he able to wash away your sin and your iniquity? The Lord Jesus Christ bore the punishment, bore the wrath of God for those that believe. We have in Genesis an example of this substitute. When Abraham was told to offer Isaac upon the altar, as he took him there, he told him, he said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." And Abraham took his son up that mountain and laid his son upon the altar and lifted up the knife to slay his son. God stopped him. "Abraham, Abraham, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast withheld thine only son from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Exceedingly abundant. See, Abraham had taken his son up the mountain. He had laid him upon that altar. He lifted up his knife. But God had stopped him. And behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. Now, if you speak to any shepherd, they will say it is highly unlikely that a ram will ever get caught by his horns. He will get caught by his coat. But this ram had to be without spot, and it had to be without blemish. It had to be spotless. So it was caught by its horns. And you notice that Abraham had not noticed that this ram was there. It was silent. It was caught by its horns in the thicket, and it was silent. Abraham turned and looked. You see, this ram was perfect, and it was waiting for the right time to be sacrificed. And he picked it up and he offered it instead of his son. I want you to imagine that you should pay the price of your own sin. You were born in sin. In sin did your mother conceive you. You have sin inherited from your birth, from Adam. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're all destined for an eternity in hell. We're all destined for the damnation, the wrath of God, in an eternity in hell. But because God loved the world, he gave us his only begotten Son. So we should pay the price. But there was a substitute. Like this substitute here, the ram, Jesus Christ, is a substitute. And we have it spoken about right at the beginning of the Bible, with Adam and Eve. You see, we all know the story, don't we, of how the devil, in the form of a serpent, tempted Eve. And how God cursed the devil, the snake, and upon his belly shall he go. But he said to him, "It, the seed of the woman, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to be triumphant over the devil, to bruise his heel. And here we have in the ram a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to deliver his people upon the cross at Calvary. An exceedingly abundant grace. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. When Jesus Christ came, he did not come as a king or a prince. He came as the baby in a manger. The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. He was tried and he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. So we do not have a high priest who is not concerned by our infirmities, because he has walked this pathway. Not only was he a substitute for our sin, he knows exactly how we feel. He knows the sins that we go through, because he was tempted with them, yet without sin. The spotless Lamb of God. And as he lived his perfect and his upright life, as he fulfilled the law and the prophets of the Old Testament, he came to die upon the cross at Calvary for sinners. The substitute for sinners. Either side of him were two men, two thieves, one on the left hand and one on the right hand. What do we read about them? One scoffed, "If thou be the Son of God, save thyself and us." And the other, "We indeed justly receive our due reward for our deeds, but this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, has done nothing amiss. This man was crucified upon the cross at Calvary because he came unto his own and his own received him not. This man, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to die upon the cross at Calvary for sinners, the just for the unjust, the sinless for the sinner. Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." You see, one rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, scoffed at him. The other one, by the power and the working of the Holy Spirit, repented of his sin and turned to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in the realization that he was and is the Son of God. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross at Calvary, his Father hid his face from him. You see, in hell there will be no mercy. There will be no kindness of God. In hell you will be in God's wrath, in God's judgment, God's anger against sin. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ suffered upon the cross at Calvary. He suffered God turning his face from him. You see, right from the beginning of the Bible, we have a unity between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We have right at the beginning that the Holy Spirit moved over the waters, and God spoke, and it was done. Through eternity, there had been a unity between them. But upon the cross at Calvary, God hid his face from his Son. There was a separation, and darkness came upon the face of the earth. And Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And he was forsaken for sinners, because your sin and my sin was taken from you, and it was laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was punished for it. He was punished upon the cross at Calvary. What he endured, no tongue can tell. But we know that from that point, from that punishment, the wrath of God, he was satisfied. He was satisfied with the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross at Calvary. And the Lord Jesus Christ laid his life down. No man took it from him. He laid it down. He says, I could have called 10,000 chariots to come and protect me. But he laid his life down for his friends. When the soldier pierced his side, outwith flowed blood and water. This was to prove that the Lord Jesus Christ's body had died. In crucifixion, the blood begins to separate around the heart and water comes around the sac of the heart and in the lungs. So when the soldier pierced him to prove that he was dead, that came, that blood and that water. But to us, there is a river. There is a river. The streams thereof make glad the city of God. And this river, the river of righteousness, a river of... You see, blood cleanses. And the water was for washing. If you read the Levitical law, the priest had to wash himself. And he had to wash the sacrifice which he was slaying. Then he laid it upon the altar and sprinkled its blood. And we have this in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is able to wash us. Also cleanse us from all sin. Exceedingly abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. We cannot imagine what the Lord Jesus Christ went through on Calvary. We cannot even understand it. But what we do know, that if we do not believe, we're not made aware of the fact that we are sinners, then we will know. Because you will be cast into an eternity in hell, and there you will stay. But God, who is rich in mercy. So we have those that have been born again. Those that have been quickened by the power of the Holy Spirit, and come to a knowledge of the fact that they are a sinner. I would ask the question, have you? Do you know within your heart that you are a sinner? Now it's very easy to say, I am a sinner. Because you hear it, no doubt, every time you come to chapel. Every time the minister preaches, he tells you that you're a sinner. And if you do not repent from your sin, you'll spend an eternity in hell. But to feel it. To feel it. Do you feel your sin? Does your sin grieve you? Can you say, like the Apostle Paul, even when I do good, evil is present with me? Do your sins bother you? It is only by the drawing power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, no man comes unto me except the Father draw him. So if you've been made aware that you are a sinner, there is life within your soul. If you are made to pray, there is life within your soul. We take the woman who pressed through the crowd. She spent all her money trying to sort out her issue of blood. 30 years, I think. But she heard of this one. She heard of this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, if she could just touch him, she would be healed. And this is why we preach the gospel. This is why we come and tell you that you are a sinner and you need Christ. Because you need to hear. You need to know where you have to go. And you have to go to Christ. And a crowd about him will be found. You will not find it easy. Because at the moment you are captive by the devil. You're one of the devil's children. And he does not like to release you. But the drawing power of the Holy Spirit keeps on and on and on. Like this woman, she pressed through the crowd. She got down upon her knees and she touched the hem of his garment. Touched. By faith. She touched the hem of his garment. And she was healed immediately. Somebody has touched me. Realizing that she could no longer be hid, she had to tell everyone all around about for why she had touched him. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. There's no good fighting against the power of the Spirit. There's no good. You can do it. I did it. I fought for many years. I did not want to be one of these Christians. But God kept pricking me in my heart time and time again. I kept fighting and fighting and fighting. And I kept sinking deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're fighting. Maybe you love the things of this world so much, they've got such a power over you. You don't want to. But in the end, you'll have to come. Because that drawing power is so strong. And you'll realize that you are such a sinner. And that your life hangs upon a knife edge over eternity. And down you will go. But this text not only covers the Lord Jesus Christ, not only says that he is able to do exceedingly above we even ask or think, it is a text to those that have been called by grace, those that are born again. A text of encouragement for us to continue upon that pathway which leads to life. It's a text, we might say, of spiritual application and providential application. How we underestimate the power of God. You see, once we've been born again, we begin to pray. This is one sign that you are one of Christ's children. But your life is not easy. We're told it is through much tribulation that we must enter the kingdom of God. You see, this narrow way which leads to life is very narrow. And at times becomes very difficult. And it comes very difficult to make us pray. To make us get on our knees and cry unto our Father which is in heaven for help. Because when the going is easy, we begin to wander off. We begin to get carried away with the things of this life and we lose the importantness of our worshipping our Father. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. When I considered the providence of God and how he helped his people through the Old Testament, really, I came to a chapter where the armies came up against the king of Moab and they were failing for thirst. The cattle were thirsty and they came to Elisha and asked what to do. And the Lord spoke to Elisha and told him to tell the army to dig ditches and that he would provide them with water and yet not with rain. The Lord said unto them, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beast. You see, we underestimate the power of God. He is able to do things that are so beyond our human reason. that we don't ask. We try and sort our problems out ourselves. But here, Elijah tells them to go and dig ditches. You dig the ditches, and I will provide the water. And I won't provide it by a means that you think. I won't provide it by rain or by wind. I will send water. And water came by the way of Edom. I'll tell you how I came by this text. You may know, you may not, but the Lord has led my wife and myself, God willing, to go to Kenya. And over the past week I was thinking, well, how am I going to survive? How am I going to get money? What is going to happen? And I prayed that if it was of the Lord and he would show me how he was going to deliver me, he would provide me with some money. Last Wednesday, I got a cheque for £500. On Monday morning, I got a banker's draft sent through the post for £1,500. And this text came with such power, above all, that we can ask or think. See, we don't need to worry. If the Lord has told you to do something, constrained you to go a certain way, he will provide you with everything that you need. Above all, that you will ask or even think, he will provide. Because you are much more, you are of more value than many sparrows. The very hairs of your head are numbered, and he loves you because he loves his son. You see, you are seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. His righteousness covers you. Your sins are washed away upon the cross at Calvary, and you are now classed as a child of God. The Bible says that unless or except you become as little children, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. So if we examine that point, as little children, where do they look for everything that they have need of? They look to their parents. The first thing they do is to cry when they're in trouble to their parents. The first thing they do when they are hungry is to cry to their parents. The first problem that they have, they come to their parents. So this is a picture for us. Although we're going through great and difficult circumstances and we're trying maybe to fix it ourselves, you're doing wrong. Come to your Father, which is in heaven. He is able to deliver to above all that you can ask or even think, because he loves you. And he gave his son for you. The children of Israel, in captivity, God heard their cries and he saw their affliction. Maybe this is how you feel. Maybe you feel that at the moment that you're left, God has left you. The children of Israel thought the same. But you see, God was watching over them and he heard their cry and he saw their affliction. And he raised up one to deliver them. And they came out of Egypt into the Red Sea. The natural man would say, you've made a mistake. Surely this can't be the way. You have led us to a dead end. But he is able to do more than you can ask or think. He spared their lives. He opened the way through the Red Sea. And they walked through upon dry ground. Way of salvation. He delivered them from their enemies because they were his children. But you know, the same way, he delivers us. You see, the words that he spoke to them in Deuteronomy are the same words that can be spoken to us. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more than in number than any people, for ye were the fewest people. But because the Lord loved you, because he would keep an oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, he is faithful God, which keepeth the covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments unto a thousand generations. He did not choose you because you were great or amazing. He chose you because you were nothing. You came to him as nothing, and he delivered you because he gave you faith to believe in his Son. And now he will deliver you in your providential circumstances also. As we pass through this wilderness in which we live, we will come to that great day which will come to each of us, the day of our death. No one knows when it will be. It will come as a thief in the night to some, but to some will be made ready. But he is there, and he is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, because death has lost its sting. We are able to come like the Apostle Paul, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. To die is gain. You see, the world love this life. They love the things that are here. But to the real Christian, the one that has been made aware of his sin, his uncleanness, this life is a wilderness, full of trouble and tribulation, full of sin and iniquity. And the day of his death brings a separation from this body. And we can say to be with Christ, which is far better. For me to die is gain. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Well, I hope the Lord will apply even just the text into your heart, make you aware of what you really need. You need Christ. And he is able. And he is willing. Doubt no more. May the Lord add his blessing to these few remarks. Amen.
God willing, Mr. John Rosier will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Javis Rudd on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close by singing hymn 379. Come, my soul, thy suit prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray, therefore will not say thee nay. Hymn 379.
the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.